Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome to These Four Walls.
Hi, Shani. Annie.
Oh, we said that together.
All right, Annie, what was the last thing you Instagrammed?
I Instagrammed my tickets from the Beyoncé concert.
Oh my God. I think I saw that actually. I knew that.
Are you now regretting that you asked that question?
No, because I went to Beyoncé as well and it was amazing. Oh, yes. What was your favourite moment?
When all the water was on the stage and they did that really amazing dance routine.
Yeah, Beyoncé almost slipped as well. That was
did she?
Intense.
I didn't see that.
Did you
not
see that?
No.
She almost skidded in the water and everyone was like...
Beyoncé. Yeah. What was the last thing you Instagrammed?
I'm going to check. Oh, yeah. Okay. So mine was also some live music. Mine is Kendrick Lamar at British Summertime, that festival in Hyde Park.
Yeah, because you and Georgia went to that.
We did, yeah. Georgia and I headed there, and it wasn't all fun because we did some work for These Four Walls while we were there.
Which is fun.
Yeah. So you know the point in this podcast where your favourite song comes on.
L-O-V-E.
And we speak to people about dating, relationships, lack of relationships, all that kind of thing. We thought we'd mix it up this time and ask festival goers to help us out with their thoughts.
Okay, interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing what they said.
It's quite a good one.
And there's actually loads happening in London at the moment because there's a new exhibition that Georgia went to find out all about, a Georgia O'Keeffe exhibition at the Tate.
She did, yeah. We sent our very own Georgia Murray to Georgia O'Keeffe to see what was going
nice.
On.
And who was your guest in the office this week?
Oh, I had such a good guest, Annie. I got the lovely Sharon Rooney. So she was the star of... Did you watch that E4 show, My Mad Fat Diary?
Yes, very
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, exactly. So she was great. She absolutely loved ASOS as well. And she was a big fan of our pal, Debbie.
Oh, ASOS Debs.
ASOS Deb, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Well, actually, talking about what everybody's wearing in the office, I spoke to Becky, one of our junior stylists, and Lottie, who is one of our writers for ASOS Likes, about what is everyone wearing at the office?
Well, what is everyone wearing? Go on then, get in the cupboard.
Okay. Okay, so this episode, I'm back in the fashion cupboard and I have two new guests joining me. So would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Becky. I'm on the fashion team and I'm junior stylist.
I'm Lottie. I'm on the ASOS Likes team and I'm a writer.
Okay, so firstly, do you just want to describe a little bit about what your job involves at ASOS? So Bex, do you want to go first?
Basically, our team, between about 14 of us, we style all of the creative shoots that go on the homepage across all territories, the magazine, and a lot for social as well.
So you spend a lot of time in the fashion cupboard?
A lot of time in the fashion
cupboard. Which is
cupboard.
Actually, I don't think I've ever mentioned it, it's actually quite big. It's not just like a little Harry Potter under the stair cupboard. It's basically more of a room, but yeah, we just call it the fashion cupboard.
Yeah.
And Lottie, what do you do on Likes?
I write fashion, beauty, entertainment content and do a lot of the social media as well. So all the memes that you see on Facebook, that's me.
That's you. That's Lottie. So I wanted to talk a bit about when we come into work every day, everyone's always wearing such great outfits. Yes, right.
Yes,
so much so that maybe you're like, oh, why did I wear this outfit today? I should have worn her outfit.
Yeah.
So what sort of things are people wearing at the moment? What have you seen people wearing around the office that look really cool?
I did see floral cami, which is black. and it's got really thin cami straps, and it has a little flutter hem at the bottom.
Okay, so that's a little cami top, and are loads of people wearing that sort of floral print?
That floral print, that sort of 90s grunge style, whether it's in a dress or in a top, layered over t-shirts, jeans... It's just everywhere.
So lots. You like florals. You would wear that with a little t-shirt and
yeah, 100%. I keep seeing Lottie coming in that like long, with the slits.
Oh,
on the side.
And the spots at the bottom.
Yeah,
that
she wears
so
it with a little
cute.
Grey t-shirt. And I was like,
is that a top or a skirt?
That's a dress.
A dress.
Yeah, yeah.
And what else are you seeing people wearing?
Definitely mules. Like, so many mules.
Mules is definitely a style for the summer.
So mule shoes.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I haven't been able to wear those yet. Don't they just fall off your feet?
No, I think, like, as long as you get them in the right size, stay on. I've had to go a size down in my mules, though.
Oh,
so
do you?
I had to get a 4 instead of a 5.
And plain mules, or what kind of colours or styles are people going for?
All sorts of mules, really, but we really love the golden black brocade style that have just come on the site. It's the whole nod to that Renaissance, like Edwardian style, very opulent, but as well, it's like how to wear new season things now, and the brocade mule's great, great shout.
Because a shoe, that's quite a good way to get into that sort of trend, because it's quite full on, isn't it? Sort of like a rich print Renaissance. If you didn't want to wear that like as a jacket.
Yeah, it's not too much. It's
yeah.
Just sort of like a little addition.
So are people wearing those brocade prints with denim?
Yeah, boyfriend jeans, like in a really casual wear with t-shirts and things like that. But then... one of the girls on our team, like, absolutely loves them. She wears them with, like, amazing, like, sheer dresses and floral prints and really clashes them, which also looks great. It's just, as you say, it's a nice way to do a nod to the trend, but without jumping in with both feet.
So on the shoe front, loafers. I've seen everyone wearing loafers.
Oh, they're everywhere. I need to get a pair, but I'm yet to find the perfect pair. Becky, tell me. What should I be buying?
There's just been a really cool silver pair go on site. They've got a gold horse bit, they're little flat loafers, really cool with jeans, really cool with dresses. I say that's your pair.
Nice.
Okay, I'm going to get some loafers. So we're going to be matching.
Yeah, everyone's matching though, aren't they?
So everyone always turns up in like similar outfits. We do those Instagrams where everyone's just wearing stripes and there's like
having
five people having a moment.
Yeah.
And what other, apart from shoes, what other pieces are people wearing?
So like thin knit, cold shoulder everything, but cold shoulder jumpers.
Okay,
I've seen quite a few of.
Yeah, that green one, the ribbed one.
Yeah, with the little, like, frill.
Oh, yeah, that's so cute. It's like, that's a nod to the sort of granny, fake vintage sort of style that has been really big through the summer. Again, that'll carry through the winter, I think. Really easy to layer with cold shoulder. Be really nice with something gingham or striped underneath. And we're loving those acidic colours.
So that's kind of a new way to layer, I think, because you wouldn't necessarily think of wearing a jumper with holes kind of at the shoulder. But then it's nice if you put something printed underneath.
Mm.
It's an interesting way, I think, to think about your winter trends.
I mean, we haven't really had... We've had unpredictable weather, so jumpers in July.
It's an in-between item. In-between item. Okay, right now, girls, I'm going to challenge you. I have 3 fashion emergencies that I want your opinion on for people.
Uh-oh.
Okay, number one. So if you had a job interview, what are your tips for what to wear? Lottie?
I'm trying to think about what I wore for my interview here. I think I wore like black culottes and a little kind of crop black fluffy jumper. So it was quite like simple in terms of colours, but I think I might have worn a lippy as well, just, you know, sort of stand out, but make myself a bit more memorable, I guess.
That's so quite a good option to go for something quite safe that's black, but then maybe put a bit of lipstick on.
A lippy.
Yeah. Nice. Bex, what did you wear for your interview here?
My interview was a few years ago now. It was in the winter, so I wore, again, a little fluffy jumper that must have been big around that time. In a checked print, a denim mini skirt and thick black tights with little block heeled loafers.
Okay, it's that balance, isn't it, of looking smart but then showing your personality as well.
Yeah,
at the same
I think
time.
So, yeah.
Okay,
not
right.
Taking it too serious.
Fashion emergency number two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going on holiday and I haven't paid for a bag to put in the aeroplane, so I've only got my hand luggage. What are your tips on how to pack?
Always pay. No.
Always take a bigger bag.
Yeah.
Why didn't you pay?
Okay, so
we're not getting a bag.
So you must be a pro. How do you pack then?
Basically, like non-iron cami dresses can be worn to the beach, can be worn on a night out with a little choker and a bit extra makeup. Cami dresses all the way.
Layered with a little t-shirt.
Exactly.
Day. Yeah.
Okay, so
one
cami
of everything,
dresses.
I guess, as well. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, one bikini. Don't go overboard. I like choices. That's why I struggle.
I think I like choices at home, but once I'm there, I just wear the same one anyway.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay.
Always overpack.
A bit of difference of opinion. Lottie would always take a bigger bag, what we've established
probably,
from this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, loads of layers on the plane.
Yes.
There's your way around it.
Wear more clothes on the plane.
Yeah.
And third fashion emergency, you have an invite to an event, but the dress code says smart casual. The dilemma of a smart casual.
Yeah.
What would you wear?
Personally, I would go for a dress. With like either a really cool jacket, like a bomber jacket in a satin, with maybe like a mid heel or like a little lace up sandal, something like that, or a smarter shoe with like a denim jacket, just so again,
yeah,
like the interview thing, not taken too seriously,
casual jacket,
but
like,
still like
no trainers and maybe like a cute dress or jumpsuit or something.
Yeah, a little bit of a nod to a trend maybe.
I think you answered those really, really well. I don't think those are fashion emergencies at all. It just took it in your stride.
No,
okay, perfect.
No.
Loads of tips. All right, girls. Well, thank you so much for chatting to me today.
No. Thanks, Annie.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what you're all wearing around the office, because then I'm going to copy it. Thanks.
See you later.
Bye.
Cold shoulder top.
Yeah.
I've learned something new.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? A knitwear with cold shoulders.
Yeah. So big hole in both shoulders, both sides.
Yeah, and then you layer something underneath, so that's a really good look.
Mm.
And I'm definitely going to buy some loafers.
Yeah, that made me quite want to get on a loafer.
I've wanted some for ages, and silver loafers, I think I'm going to go buy them.
Do it.
What did you wear to your interview, ASOS?
Ooh, Annie, that was many years ago when I was just a girl. No, I can remember I wore these black and white, like, check trousers and a black jumper.
See,
and a necklace, which is now lost.
So quite like what the girl said then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a trouser, a smart trouser and a jumper. Okay, so anyway, you and Georgia went to British Summertime.
We did, yeah. We had the best time. So what we did is, we hit up everyone we could find and we asked them the best way of dealing with a breakup. L-O-V-E. It's that music.
It's the music. But this episode, you and Georgia went out to British Summertime and asked people about love. What did you ask them?
We were asking people about breakups, so the best way to get over a breakup.
I've dealt with a breakup by staying, sort of preserving the love between me and my other, and also by committing to the decision, allowing myself to sort of grow outside of that connection. I'd say don't repress it, allow yourself to feel what you're feeling.
Just carry on with your life and realize that a man does not define you.
Flapjacks and masturbation.
With music. Definitely music, yeah. How have you dealt with a breakup?
Ate loads of junk food, watched loads of chick flicks, and cried to my best friends.
I think that when you break up with someone, you have to grieve, because it's like a death, and I think people take that for granted. You know, you break up your boyfriend in the office or whatever, and sometimes it's a bit shushed, like, to get over it. So it's like someone died, they're not in your life anymore. It's the same feeling. And so you have to go through these stages. So you have kind of your grief and you're crying. And then I think there's denial. And then I think there's a lot of anger. And then there's regret. And then get back out there and see your friends and get busy. And then try and do lots of things that are really good for you and yoga and reading.
Run, and run a lot.
Take time for yourself, I think that's the main one. Music and food, I think. That's my comfort in life.
Best way to get over a breakup is to get your hair cut, put on some tan, and have a glass of wine.
Mean Girls and Ben and Jerry's.
Should we just talk about the elephant in the room?
What elephant in the room?
Who eats flapjacks after a breakup?
Flapjacks. I know, yeah. What would be your breakup food of choice?
I'd probably be totally cliched and just eat all of the chocolate.
Chocolate? You see, I can't eat chocolate.
Oh, yeah, you're dairy-free. Eating Ben and Jerry's either.
I think I'd just eat bread. like five French baguettes.
I can see that.
Bread is comfort food.
Yeah, bread is good.
Kind of. It's carbs, not really like
carbs
ice cream,
carbs,
but yeah. It's carbs. Yeah. And so Sharon came in this week.
Oh, Sharon. Yes, she did. Do you think she gets people calling her Shannon? Because I get a lot of Sharon emails.
I was just about to say, there's quite a lot of similar names going on here.
Georgia O'Keefe.
Yeah, that will be happening later. And then Sharon and Shannon.
Yeah.
Where's the other Annie? Or the Anna?
She's coming next episode.
Okay. So let's hear from Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the ASOS office.
Hi, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
Sharon, you've been such a ray of light. Like, we met, 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
I've led Sharon up to the sixth floor, which is where we're at. And you've just been, like, saying hi to people, giving people compliments.
Everyone looks amazing. What was that girl's name again? What was her name?
Oh, Debbie. ASOS _ Debbie.
Oh, man. She is a goddess. She walked past me downstairs and I felt myself just wanting to slow clap. She looks gorgeous. And the office is so fun. Can I come and work here?
Oh, my gosh. Of course. Yeah, anytime.
I won't do
Debbie
any work.
Never, ever wears the same thing twice.
Really?
Like, no one's ever seen her. It's incredible. And she wears heels the whole time and she can walk in them.
She's amazing.
She's pretty skilled. So we were just talking about ASOS pyjamas,
yes,
which you're a fan of.
A big fan of.
What do you look for in a pyjama?
I look for a fun print.
Mm-hmm.
I look for the cuffed bottoms.
So they go in at the bottom.
Yeah, and I look for a little bit of sass. And I own all of the ASOS curved pyjamas. All of them. I even have a nightie that says bride to be, and I am not a bride to be, but I feel like I'm ready for that. I'm ready just in case. I'm ready.
That's amazing. I'm ready to one day be a bride to be, potentially.
Yeah.
That's so good. And you also said that you sometimes leave little notes in your ASOS returns.
Yeah, because
Sharon's just the nicest person in the world.
It's because sometimes I'm a little bit late. returning items because I've been away, and sometimes I return quite a lot because I buy everything in a couple of sizes, and you know I like to be prepared.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for sending so much stuff back, so sometimes I just write little notes and say sorry, Merry Christmas.
Oh,
sorry.
You're the cutest. This is so good. All right, so we're here to talk about Brief Encounters, which
yes,
we're going to, but just wanted to touch on my Mad Fat Diary before that, because I noticed actually as you were walking along, definitely a few looks from ASOS stuff. I know that was a big hit in this office, but that show, people were obsessed with, people went mad for.
Yeah, I think the night being in the 90s, I think so many people could relate to that, to being that age in the 90s. The music was great. And I think having a character like Ray at the forefront, doing all these things that we all go through with no sugarcoating, I think that's what people liked. It was a real honest and truthful, I hope, portrayal of what it was like to be mad, fat and 16 in 1996.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And Ray as well, like you touched on, she's such a great character. But I was looking, stalking.
Yeah.
So many comments on your Instagram and your Twitter, all just saying how much they love Ray and how much they could relate to her. Did that make you really big-headed?
No, it made me feel really humble, actually, and really... I don't know, it's funny, as an actor you always want to do your best and you always want to touch people and you always want people to enjoy it, because that's the whole point, you want to entertain. But I think for Ray to have helped people, I think is more than I ever imagined.
It felt so refreshing. It's like
there's nothing better than someone saying like it's helped them.
Yeah,
that's the best feeling. That's better than anything.
Aww. And were you all pretty sad when it ended?
Yeah.
You seem like quite a tight-knit cast.
We are, and we also keep in touch. We also
talk.
Yeah. Aww. You know, I think and I think when you go through, like, we kind of grew up together, and we go through all those highs and lows together, you form bonds that will never break, and Claire and Ian I still speak to, and it was good, and we did get some cheeky ASOS bits in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ray also was a fan of ASOS.
Oh my god!
She also was a fan, but she did wear some pretty cool ASOS, the leather jacket.
The fashion on the whole show was amazing. It was really cool.
So good.
Oh,
I've kept most of the ASOS bits.
Oh, nice. Good work. All right. And now you've gone back to the 80s for Brief Encounters.
Making my way through.
So Brief Encounters, it's a new ITV show. It's on at... Is it 9 p.m?
9 p.m. on Monday. Starts on Monday.
So I've seen the first episode. It's so hilarious. How did that sort of all come about?
The show, or
were you approached for it, or did you hear about it on audition?
So I was rehearsing for Henry the Fourth that we were taking to New York, and I got the script through, and I thought, what is this? I read the brief really quickly when I was in a warm up, and obviously I'm warm up.
Can you sort of describe what it is?
So it's basically the story of four women in Sheffield in the 80s who start selling Ann Summers and start doing Ann Summers parties, and it's basically about how that changes their lives and how they become a little kind of group of four strong women there for each other, the men in their lives, and all these goings on that kind of come from these parties.
It's so fun. It's really good. And if you had to sum it up in kind of three words, what would you say? Why should people watch it?
It's surprising.
Mm.
It's naughty. And it's heartfelt.
Oh my gosh, you smashed it.
Dada.
Good choice. All right, so that's ITV Monday, 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Be there. Or on ITV Player.
Yeah.
It is 2016. All right, are you ready to play our new game?
Yes.
So, I was talking to Sharon about this game before this, and we think you did some quite good Craig David singing.
You're Thank you.
Quite familiar with Craig David.
Thank you.
So, this game is all about whether Craig David said it or someone else said it. And you can have a bonus point if you can guess who else said it.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a clue, which is three of these are Craig, three of these are not Craig. Can you see my bit of paper?
No.
Okay, good. All right, ready? Number one. A journey of a single mile starts with just one step.
I don't think Craig was the originator of that saying, but maybe he did say it. But I don't think he made that up. I'm sure I've seen that on, like, a canvas somewhere.
Was it in Craig David's boat on Miami? No, you're right. I think that the sentiment probably is much older.
Yeah.
What are you going to go for?
But does it count if he said it even though he didn't?
Yeah.
I guess maybe he said it.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You're winning.
Well done, Craig. That's a nice quote.
He did say it.
I like
that. That was a quote on one of his Instagram posts.
I like that a lot.
All right. Number two. It's a language when you can't speak the same language. It's the way that we celebrate milestones and show love. That's the bigger picture.
No.
No. You're going for no?
Yeah.
You're right. It's
really?
No. Do you want to try and get a bonus point?
Yeah.
No offence, you'll never get this. But you can have a guess.
Can I have a clue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you know this, it's like, it's a language.
Yeah.
So that's not music, that's actually about food.
Was it Nigella?
Close, kind of close. It's Whole Foods.
Oh, I like Whole Foods.
Yeah, Whole Foods is amazing. Quite expensive, but delicious.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a treat.
Yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
Worth it. Yeah,
it's a clean treat.
Yeah, Friday treat. You're smashing this. All right, two.
I
right.
can't see your paper. I've
oh
not
no,
got
I
my
know.
Glasses
I don't.
Or my contacts.
I don't doubt it. All right, ready. Oh, this is a good one. One of the most beautiful realizations you can have is when you decide it's time to stop being a student of life and instead graduate and own it.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like he could have said that. But no. Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He, that sounds like Craig. In fact, I think he said that to me.
Oh, did he?
No.
Imagine. I'd love to be given like a pep talk by Craig.
Yeah. Like, Shannon, he's very deep, hasn't he?
He's so deep. He's very profound. I don't know whether to give you that one. Yeah, I'm going to give you that one.
Thanks.
All right, next one. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity.
Oh.
You just pulled a really good face there. A really good concentrating face.
I don't know. Again, I feel like you could have, but I'm going to say no.
You're right. That is actually a bit of the Bible.
Oh.
That's Proverbs 17:17. Not Craig David.
Not Craig David.
Is this too easy?
No.
Okay, good. But you are doing really well.
I just like guessing.
Okay. Guys, if you're going to serve your woman chocolates to surprise her, why not serve them on a brand new pair of Louboutins for her? What the fuck's she going to do with a silver platter when the chocolates are gone? Hashtag being creative for your girl.
No.
It was Craig.
Why?
He Instagrammed a shoe with some Louboutins in it.
Does he actually do that?
I mean, unless he just purchased it all for the purpose of the Instagram, which I wouldn't put past him either.
But I like silver trays. They're a nice feature.
Do you know what? I'd much prefer a silver tray to a pair of Louboutins because heels are so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'd like some slippers and a nice, maybe rose gold tray.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
He should do all three if he wants to be like that about it. Come on, Craig. We're not convinced.
Don't throw away silver
But what do you think about that hashtag? Hashtag being creative for your girl. I quite like that element of it.
Yeah. It's cute.
All right.
It's cute.
Bit of work,
Craig. It's not very romantic, though. I'd expect more from Craig.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. All right. Are you ready for the very last one?
Yes.
Keep your life in a positive perspective. We are not defined by our past.
That's nice.
It is nice.
But I don't think he said that.
You're so good. You're right.
Did he not say it?
Do you want to guess who did say it?
Gandhi.
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, well.
Similar. I did actually have a Gandhi quote in the long list this morning. I took it out. Yeah.
Kim Kardashian said that?
Kim Kardashian said it.
Go on, Kim.
Go on, Kim.
Go on, Kim.
All right. Well, that's sort of everything. You've smashed it on our little game. You've been a pleasure to have in the Ace of Office.
Thanks for having me.
No, come back.
Now I know where you live. I'm going to come round all the time.
All right. Brief Encounters this Monday, 9 o'clock. Can you give us any spoilers?
You think you know Dawn after episode one, but you don't know it at all.
Dun, dun, dun. Can we do like a drum roll? Warren loves it when I do this. You can hear it in his ear. All right. Thank you so much for coming in. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Sharon was very nice.
She's cool, isn't she? Yeah, she's really funny.
She's really cool. That game was quite fun that you played.
I mean, Craig David, he has such a scope. He can be really profound and then he can just be a bit weird.
I think you'd be quite an expert. Like, if I played that with you and I said, did Craig David say this? You'd be like, yes.
Thank you. Absolutely not. I'll take that. He can kind of throw you sometimes, but...
And so, Georgia Murray, I feel like, where's she gone? Isn't she meant to be here?
Georgia Murray's been with Georgia O'Keeffe.
Oh, yeah, she's gone down to the Tate.
Yeah, should we see how she got on?
Yeah, let's see how she got on.
So I'm here at the Tate Modern. I'm about to go to the Georgia O'Keeffe exhibition. It looks absolutely incredible. And then afterwards, I'm going to talk to the assistant curator about the artist and her work.
Hi, my name is Hannah Johnston and I'm Assistant Curator of International Art at Tate Modern.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
It's a pleasure.
So if we can just kick off by you sort of walking me through who Georgia O'Keeffe was and how she began her art and painting.
Yeah, so Georgia O'Keeffe was probably one of the most important American artists of the 20th century, really a kind of founding figure of what has come to be associated with American modernism. Mm-hmm. She began in 1916, her kind of mature work. She'd made things as a student before then, but I think her mature work started in 1916 when she had her debut at the gallery of photographer Alfred Stieglitz, which was called 291. It was at 291 Fifth Avenue in New York. So she had her debut in 1916 with charcoal drawings that we have in the exhibition. And she had a really long and illustrious career. We've stopped in the mid-1960s, mm-hmm. But she carried on until her death in the 1980s. So really, almost a century.
Wow, okay, cool. And so I guess she's best known for her flowers, even though my favourites are the American landscapes. And then she kind of goes into her New Mexico images of bones and dramatic skies. Can you briefly talk us through the different stages of her work and how that correlated with different periods of her life?
She is best known for her flower paintings, but I think what this exhibition is trying to show that they represent only a very small amount of what she did. And really, she's best understood as a landscape painter, I think. Mm-hmm. Her early work in the 1920s was very abstract. She was looking at abstractions from nature, blossoms, and she was also looking at synesthesia, mm-hmm. which is the term for when kind of you trigger a response in a sense by stimulating another sense. Mm-hmm. So, for example, a sound could invoke a specific color.
Yeah.
So she was looking at that. She, as you said, she was hugely associated with New Mexico. She went first in the 1920s, mm-hmm. and in the 1940s she moved there permanently. And some of her landscapes that we have later in the show are her most iconic works, I think. She was looking at skulls and bones, as you say, mm-hmm. but also the kind of amazing topography of the region. So yeah. the layers of rock that have yeah. been formed from millions of years of geological processes that I won't pretend to understand, yeah. But she really was fascinated in that, and I think the light as well.
And did she stay there until her death in New Mexico?
Yeah, so she made her first visit, I said, in 1929, and she moved permanently in 1949. Mm-hmm. She'd spent her summers there for a couple of decades, but in 1949 she moves permanently, and by that point she had two homes, one at Abiquiu mm-hmm. and one at Ghost Ranch, and she okay. split her year seasonally between the two.
Sounds dreamy, to be honest.
It does.
So she was married to Alfred Stieglitz, who's an internationally known photographer. Can you tell me a bit more about her personal life and how that might have influenced her work as an artist?
She first met Stieglitz in 1916, so he gave her her debut. Mm-hmm. She had sent her drawings, her early charcoal drawings, to a friend, and the friend had showed them to Stieglitz, and he'd been really fascinated by her work. Mm-hmm. She came to live with him in New York in 1918, and they lived together for some time before they were later married in the 20s.
Okay.
And I think people have often placed a lot of importance on Stieglitz's role. He was one of the most powerful people in the art world at that time.
Yeah.
He gave Picasso, Matisse, their first exhibitions in the US. But I think actually what we're trying to show is that the relationship was really one of equality. You know, mm-hmm. they depended on each other, but they influenced each other's work. Mm-hmm. And it was really a kind of an equal partnership that yeah. lasted for over 30 years.
It's quite interesting, the kind of correlation between her and Frida Kahlo, and how they were yes. both married to artists, and arguably the women have surpassed the fame and the yeah. legacy of the male yeah. artists.
It's an interesting point. I mean, there are lots of parallels between their work, and she did know Frida Kahlo. She went to visit
okay.
her in Mexico in the 1950s.
Oh, wow.
She'd met her before, I think, in the 1940s in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But there, I think there is a sense with O'Keeffe that to some degree she's been kind of eclipsed by her own fame. You know,
yeah,
people
okay.
know certain elements of her work. They know the flower paintings. They know different parts, but actually what we're trying to show is that her work is so much broader. I think people who see the show will be really surprised as they go from room to room to see how her work changes.
Yeah.
And she's an artist who she was never content to stay with the same subject and refine it. You know, once she felt like she had addressed what she wanted to address, she moved on, she pushed herself in a different direction. So
yeah.
I think
like constantly evolving. So obviously being one of the most important women and artists of the 20th century, but she rallied against that sort of gendered stereotype of her work. She really didn't like being called a female artist, is that right?
Exactly. She spent most of her life campaigning to be seen as an artist, not a woman artist. The interpretations, I think, that people know about O'Keeffe were first put forward in the 19-teens by Stieglitz. He saw her work in really gendered terms. You know, mm-hmm. when he first saw her early charcoals, he apparently exclaimed, finally a woman on paper.
Okay.
And this is something that she really was fighting against. You know, she didn't want to be put into a box in that way. She didn't want her works to be seen as gendered. And, you know, many of the Freudian interpretations, so these sexualized interpretations of her painting, were denied by the artist throughout her whole life.
Yeah.
Even in the 70s, when a new generation of feminist artists tried to kind of get her on board with their cause, she wasn't interested in that either, because she didn't want to be seen as a woman artist. Even though she was a really incredible supporter of women's rights, she wrote to Eleanor Roosevelt about women's rights. She was a member of the National Women's Party for most of her life. So it wasn't that she wasn't supporting the cause. She just wanted to be seen as an equal to her male peers. And I think if we remember that she was coming to kind of the fore at a time when it was a really male-dominated art world.
Yeah,
in the 19-teens and the 20s, there weren't that many women painters at the time, and I think she wanted to be seen on a level playing field.
Yeah. And we rarely get to see her paintings in the UK, and I think there's quite a lot in the exhibition that haven't been shown in the UK before,
yes,
which is really exciting. But why now? Why is 2016 the year that you thought we really need this exhibition?
Yeah, as you say, we haven't had a show in the UK for 23 years. It's a first in a generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really an amazing opportunity, because there are no works on public display in the UK. You can't see these paintings anywhere. So it just feels like it's a good time. And it's a century after her debut. So we're really celebrating the century that we've known O'Keeffe, so the century since her debut, but also O'Keeffe's century. She lived to 98 years old. She lived through almost a century of change. So we've had those two centuries in mind, I think.
So incredible. And we were saying, walking through the exhibition, the preservation of the works being 100 years old is absolutely incredible. They're sort of pristine.
We do have an incredible conservation team, but you know, I think that's really a really good point, because the paintings do look like they were painted yesterday.
Yeah,
they're very fresh,
and the colours are so vibrant as well.
Absolutely.
It's gorgeous. And I think for me, one of the really beautiful things, the photographs that Stieglitz took of her, you can really see parallels with the way she dresses and looks and poses with some fashion brands like Celine, and everything that Phoebe Philo's taken on board, that really like pared back minimalism. So I think people coming will not only see and appreciate the art, but that kind of thing as well.
Absolutely. I mean, she was so radical thinking. You know, people were writing in the 20s that she didn't dress like other girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's come at an age of, you know, turn of the century, frilly dresses, and really she's wearing very masculine suits. She's incredibly sharp tailoring. She had many, many pairs of designer shoes that she wore through the New Mexico desert. So I think she's really an incredible personality. And as you say, the photographs that we have by Stieglitz that are alongside the paintings give you a sense of that.
This one's quite tricky. If you had to sum up O'Keeffe in one sentence, what would it be?
Wow, one sentence. I would say just a founding figure of modernism who deserves to be looked at with new eyes, I think, after a century.
That's perfect, and I definitely think the exhibition will help people do that, for sure. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. And everyone, go and see the exhibition. You've got until the 30th of October.
It's open. It opens today, 6th of July, and it's open until the 30th of October.
Yeah, perfect. So you've got plenty of time to come to London and see it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Hi, guys.
Georgia Murray, you're back.
I am back.
Did you have fun?
It was absolutely incredible. It's really beautiful, and everyone should go.
Yeah, it sounded really cool.
Yeah, and is the new bit of the Tate open now?
Yeah, that's the Switch House. That opened maybe a couple of weeks
ago. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
But the viewing platform is higher than the one on the Boiler House, so the view across London is absolutely amazing.
That's nice. But the Georgia O'Keeffe thing isn't in the new bit, is it?
No, that is in the Boiler House, which is the old
classic. Oh, okay, in
classic.
The old bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the first day it opened, wasn't it?
Yeah, which was Wednesday, and it was...
Was it busy?
Yeah, it was busy, actually. Lots of school kids, classic gallery.
Lots of school
on a weekday.
Tours.
But yeah, still, because it's such a big exhibition, it's about 10 rooms, plenty to see, and you can take your time, which is quite nice.
That's so good. Do you feel like a Georgia O'Keeffe expert now?
I kind of do, you know, but mainly because of the assistant curator. She was amazing.
Were you a fan before?
To be honest, I wasn't, and that's just because I'd only really seen The Flowers, which she's obviously really well known for, which isn't my kind of thing. But having been to the exhibition and seen
the more kind of landscapey,
yeah,
Mexican paintings, and the skulls across sort of like a desert night sky.
Oh yeah,
the
skulls are really cool.
They're so cool.
So there was a bit, there was a lot of non-flower stuff as well then.
Yeah, I think the flowers only took up about 1.5-2 rooms, whereas the Mexican period of her life was sort of the 3 final rooms.
Yeah, so that's interesting that people kind of know her for that, but there's actually a lot more that you can go see.
Exactly, yeah, don't just think that she's the flower woman.
What was the coolest thing about her?
To be honest, I loved her husband's photographs of her. So Alfred Stieglitz, who was a really prominent photographer, and he took the most stunning pictures of her wearing these amazing like masculine shirts and wide brim hats and like these amazing sort of tailored trousers. She was a very well-dressed lady.
So she's actually a bit of a fashion icon herself. Rather than just seeing her work, you can see what she used to wear.
Exactly, yeah, you can kind of tell how brands like Celine have kind of like taken some of her style and used that sort of pared back minimalism.
And is this, so how many big exhibitions like this do the Tate on each year?
Well, they've got 4 locations, St Ives, Liverpool, Modern and Britain, and they tend to put on about 4 major exhibitions each year. But what was really cool with this one, it usually takes about 3 years to plan and prep and set up each big major sort of retrospective. And this one was 18 months, and considering how big it is.
So that's quite quick, really.
Yeah, it's such a lot of work. And because this is the first time we're seeing a huge retrospective like this in the UK, probably for about 100 years.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's just such a big job, and they've done it really, really well.
But it doesn't move around between, like those big exhibitions sometimes do, like go around the world. Is it just going to be in the Tate?
Yeah, it's just going to be in the Tate Modern.
And do you know how long it's on for?
It's on until the 30th of October.
Ooh,
okay, so lots of time to go down there.
Thanks, Georgia.
No worries.
That was really, really interesting, and we better go visit.
Yeah,
do it, guys.
Thanks.
Bye. What an episode.
What a great episode.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah, I liked that bit of the Tate. It was really good.
Yeah, well, thank you to Hannah Johnston, who Georgia spoke to.
Thank you to Becky and Lottie from the fashion team and ASOS Likes.
And Sharon Rooney, who came in. She was great.
And all those people you spoke to at British Summertime.
Yes, cheers, lads. And also, I guess we should thank our producer, Warren.
Warren, thanks, Warren. Thanks, Shan.
Thanks, Annie.
I know, we never thanked each other before.
That's cute, isn't it? Very amicable, this ending. If you like it, please don't forget to rate us. And you can subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your favourite podcast app.
And tune in next episode for more chat from these four walls.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.